You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
All right, we're continuing our CBS Sports Radio Throwback Day with one of the originals in the lineup. That, of course, is Doug Gottlieb. Doug, first and foremost, appreciate you coming on. How you been?
I'm great, Zach. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. So when the network first launched, like, you were one of those names that were brought over. It was a big name hire, right? People are trying to make a splash. What do you remember in the infant days of one CBS Sports Radio?
Well, it's interesting because Jim Rome and I, we were out in California. Initially I was doing a TV show with Ali LaForce called Leadoff. And, I took my producer, Adam Klug, from ESPN, and we all moved out to the West Coast. So, it wasn't until 2 years later when they moved me back and we were in New York City where you are now, that it really felt like a one whole kind of network, you know? So what I remember, gosh, I just remember I was so anxious to get on air. Mm-hmm. Because, and I don't know if you're like this in your career, but I started doing radio in Oklahoma City as a fill-in guy during the summers when I was still playing professionally, and then had my first show in 2002, 2003, I go to ESPN. But after that, I just always had a radio show. And so now you fast forward to 2012, it's been 10 straight years. We have a radio show, and there was like a, really like a 6 month kind of lapse, where, you know, in October we launched the network, TV show, but it wasn't until January we launched a radio show. So I was just chomping at the bit. What I remember was just a very ambitious spirit, from the entire group. Every time we call back to New York, we had daily calls as to how things were going. But it definitely felt like you had an East Coast segment of the network and the West Coast contingent of the network. And there was nothing really in the Midwest. And it was just really interesting in terms of topics. And it did not feel like kind of one network. Additionally, you had a bunch of different ways of doing the media, right? Jim Rome has always done the Jim Rome show. Caller heavy, talking smack, everything's got a nickname. My show was very much formulated at ESPN. It's kind of a combo of how Cowherd does it, how Dan Patrick does it. We were all together at ESPN at the time, and a little bit of kind of my own sort of flavor to it and things that I had learned, sports radio I listened to growing up. And then the East Coast guys, well, they were all WFAN types, mm-hmm. right? So they took heavy, heavy callers, but all the topics were, you know, baseball and NBA basketball and maybe, you know, East Coast football or whatever. So it was really kind of a cornucopia of styles, tastes, and deliveries in the early days of the network.
Yeah, it's honestly been my favorite part hosting here. And I started on the weekend overnights and then worked my way up. But it's really doing the college stuff, because you're right. People would be in this building in New York and they'd be like, oh, I just got to talk the big topics. Like, I think I've talked more Boise State football in the last 4 or 5 years than anybody. And I think it's knowing the markets that you were on and how you could kind of create a local feel in that market, even though you were a national network.
Okay, I'm gonna sell a couple of our bosses. One's not anymore your boss. I'll sell our bosses out a little bit. So if you go back to 2012. It was like spring of 2012. I came down to New York to interview for the job. Interview with radio one day, TV another day. And when I interviewed with the radio guys, they were all WFAN guys. And they said, well, what would you be doing on your show today? And it was, I think it was like early April. And I said, well, I'll be doing an NFL draft. You know, I had a couple of early, like kind of little NBA topics, but mostly football with the NFL draft coming up. And there was some NBA story. I don't know. And they were like, you're not going to talk Red Sox and Yankees? No. They're like, why not? I said, because I'm not on in New York. I'm not on in Boston. And if you're on in New York and you're on in Boston and you are getting me on our app or whatever, on satellite or whatever, like, you're not going to listen to me. If you want to listen to the Red Sox stuff, you're not going to listen to me. You listen to some local guy, right? Same thing in New York. You're listening to, Mike. You're not going to listen to me. So it was very much a different philosophy. And I'll actually credit Eric Spitz, who's now obviously running SiriusXM. Spitzy was all over me about, why don't you take more calls? Why don't you take more calls? And I just said, Eric, look, when I was at ESPN, they did studies. They said, there's no study that says you should take calls. Not one. You don't get anything out of it because you have the variance of it. You got to screen them really well. It's not, would you rather listen to an expert I have on, Tom Telesco, who's now, he's general manager of the chart. Would you rather listen to Tom Telesco, who's been in the business for 12 years, or Jim in Staten Island tell you about what the Giants should do? Like, what is a better listen for the listeners? And all the metrics and the things that I had been told, it'd be like, people don't care about callers. And the first 2 years of it, I would get probably a weekly email, just a rundown of what I was doing. Like, why didn't you guys take calls here? Why take calls there? By the time we moved to New York, Adam moved with me. We kind of became the standard for how they wanted the network to be in laying out topics. And there were a couple of days in which we took calls. I mean, in the very early days, the Boston Marathon Massacre happened with a bomb. Mm-hmm. And, that one was, that's where it's live sports radio, but you start talking about other things other than sports. And then I remember during that tragedy, I think Michael Jackson died pretty early on as well. We took some calls, just like sometimes people just needed to vent and to give you their perspective and their thoughts. So you're talking about a couple times a year. But yeah, I mean, that's really, I took what I had learned and bought into, and we kind of held our ground a little bit. And then eventually I will credit those guys, because in the early days it was rough. They did not like how I did a radio show at all. And I did not care, because I believe it's the right way to do it at that time slot, national. Not everything has to be, cut and paste in the exact same way, but I believe it's the right way to do it. And I think they liked how we prepped. I think they liked how I interviewed. I know they liked how Adam laid out a show. And then, the use of experts and opening rants and finding creative ways to get more topics with pre-produced elements. I think that was what kind of drew them to our style.
You talk about Doug Gottlieb making that shift from West Coast to East Coast while you're still doing a national show. Outside of taking pizza slices from Rich Ackerman and giving Samter a wet willy, like, what did you appreciate the most about just being in the building once you came into the New York offices?
Is this radio or is this going? Is this
yeah, this will be on the radio. Yeah. So you can't curse.
People give a flip in New York.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, look, I live most of my life. I lived in Connecticut for 12 years, right? 9 at ESPN, 3 at the CBS. I live in California for 8 to 18. So, yeah, probably about 25 years in California. and people in California love sports. But hey, if the Rams think the Dodgers are good, if the Dodgers think the Lakers are good, mm-hmm. you know, and if everybody sucks, the weather's good, you know, where there's an energy, most of it negative, but there's an energy to New York sports and to East Coast sports, and rivalries still matter. And your city matters. Professional sports matter. It's very different, as you know. You like college football, so do I. You know, I went to school in Oklahoma. I love SEC football. When I was there, I would go to an SEC football game once a year as well, maybe even twice. But there's just an energy and a passion and sort of a nastiness. And look, the building you're working in, maybe not that particular building, but the station, that's the birthplace of what we do. So there's a reverence that I've always had. My dad was a New Yorker. We'd come back every summer, and we'd listen to Imus in the morning and the dog, Mike and the dog in the afternoon, right? So there was something pretty cool about working in New York City, grabbing a slice of pizza, walking upstairs, and our walls were separated, soundproof, but Mike was right next door. He didn't like me. But he didn't like anybody. So that
this Scotland guy, you know, he's taking money out of my pocket.
We know this. I can do a pretty good impression. It takes me a second to get into it.
And your sports minutes didn't belong on his show, you know?
Oh yeah, that was a good one. Here's a random one. Some people don't know. I somehow we ran up like a $10,000 bill on an ISDN line. So radio now. Nobody does the ISDNs because they're too expensive. An ISDN line is a way of doing a connected, basically phone line, but it's set, sounds great. And so when I went to CBS, they installed an ISDN line in my Connecticut house before we moved out. And I had to do the sports minutes every day. That's until the network became a real thing. And so I'd sit in there and write them out and do them and every day. Well, we didn't disconnect.
Oh,
somebody
boy.
Forgot to disconnect for like a couple of weeks. And so I'm in California and I get this crazy phone bill, right? Like, have you ever gotten an $11,000 phone bill? Like, what the flip is going on here? So thankfully at that time, the network swallowed that one and we got that one paid. But he did not like the sports minutes. He did not like sports minutes. I thought they were fun. I loved it. We made a bunch of money on them. They were really cool. The ability to be creative in 52 seconds and say something with opinion. It definitely was a brain teaser every day.
Yeah. And so many people obviously heard them around the country. Last thing I'll ask you, just with what you're doing now, you've been in the news with, being at Green Bay coaching and then giving up the radio show. Just tell me what you're building with the basketball program, why you thought you had to give up doing the radio show now at Fox.
It's not, I don't want to give up audio. I still want to, I still have opinions. I love sports. I want to cover sports. But I mean, today's the perfect example. You know, we played last night. We won a game, all that stuff. I got on a plane. I'm coming to recruit. And the kid I'm coming to recruit, the game starts at 1:30. Now, if I was doing my radio show here, West Coast, it would be, I would have to land, get to a spot, 11 to 2, do it. I would have had to prep the whole time, do the show. It's just a lot. And I mean, the big thing is I still love doing radio. I still love doing TV. I'd still love to break down games, but I don't know. I think we can build a great podcast. I have an IP. I have my podcast. iHeart's fully on board. They're going to sell it. So I'll make some money doing it, but it's a little bit also of my personal outlet. In the meantime, it just allows me. The reality is I've always been all in on it. Mm-hmm. The also reality is I probably prioritized Green Bay basketball from the second I got the job. And I'm sure there's a couple of days in which you can sense that when I'm doing radio, and that's not fair to anybody. I want to, you know, we have an expression in our program, how we do anything is how we do everything. And I want to do everything to the best of my ability. And I've done the multiple job things for years. And I'm sure, you know, you've been there as well when you're one arm paper hanger. You know, I'm doing color for a bunch of different entities. I'm doing my TV show. I'm doing a radio show, whatever. And then you stop and go like, hey, am I doing all of this well? And I think we're doing well there, but I don't want to leave anything to chance. I have, this is an incredible opportunity I have to coach a Division I program. We're starting to win some games. We're raising money. I'm learning a ton. I feel like my staff is is finally like exactly how I want. You know, we're changing some of the narrative on things. And so I'd hate to be 80 years old and go, you know, I should have quit radio for a little bit and really focused in on basketball, you know? So there's just been a couple of times when I haven't been able to do things, and I don't like that. I just want to be completely all in for everybody's sake on it. And I think there's no loss in it. The only loss is going to be the revenue. And if you're good enough at what I'm doing now and with the podcasting, that'll come. So short-term loss, but long-term, I think it'll be a win.
Yeah, and obviously with our network coming to a close, we appreciate what you did for, you know, contributing to the network for all those years. And also, you probably don't remember this because you've probably done this so many times. Anytime you'd call a game, you would go into like the gym the night before and put up hoops. Yeah. And I remember meeting you at Temple University when I was a student broadcaster, and we were just like talking after you were shooting hoops and talking to some of the guys of the Temple basketball team.
Was I nice?
Yes, you were nice. You were actually nice. So, some other broadcasters, not so much. You were very nice.
I think it's interesting. You know, there's people that are just such DBs about things, you know, and, you know, since we started winning games, there's a lot of broadcasters that have, you know, mentioned, hey, we're doing better, doing well or whatever. And I just, I have my spies there, you know, guys, little Samter and those other dudes, they all tell me just, I have no time for people who don't treat anybody with others with class and respect. I know you have. It was one of the great things about CBS Sports Radio is that was how everybody was treated. So I appreciate you mentioning that. And yeah, I mean, look, I miss that stuff, but I will tell you that winning one of those games instead of calling one of those games
is a lot better.
Oh my God. It's a drug that you can't get enough of.
Well, Doug, hey, we really appreciate it. Thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you. Hey, Zach, let's keep in touch, bud. And CBS Sports Radio was a cool thing. It was a great idea. It's good people. And it was a great run.
I think he's 100% right in the way that he ended it. CBS Sports Radio was a cool thing. And there's a lot of great people around here. And you look back at, you know, just the people I'm looking at right now with Samter and Stu. And yesterday we said goodbye to Ack. Even CeeLo, who's doing updates today. You go back through all the update anchors through the years, like a Jay Berman, an Andrew Bogish. Marco Belletti, right? These guys that have just been here. And then the host and, you know, our current lineup of Maggie and Andrew and Bill. And then you go through the rest of the lineup with JR and Bart and Pat. You know, you had Amy. There's just so many good people that were here. Brian Jones, Chris Moore, Gio. Like, you just go through the lineup. And there were so many good names and good people, so I like the way that Doug Gottlieb said that. We're going to get to Chris Moore, one of the all-time great characters of this network when we come on back. I miss his newsroom singing. That's something I miss greatly. Chris Moore going to join us next. Doing a CBS Sports Radio throwback day. Scotty Farrell was awesome. We had Taz on, BT, D.A. Marash, Amy Lawrence, Jody Mack, Bill Ryder, you just heard from Doug Gottlieb. But I'll tell you, there was always a presence around here. And you would hear a radio host that would like to sing. And he would like to sing a song that would go something like this. Marco Bellettio, he's on the radio. And that was the great Chris Moore, who was a part of the original lineup along with Brian Jones. And they hosted from 6 to 10 p.m. Eastern time. Simo, how you been? I know you're out of witness protection now.
I am, and you know, I missed the record because I think it could have been a hit. Marco Bellettio, he's on the radio. The poor guy. I just, you know, that between that and his t-shirts and his flannel shirts. I mean, there were some guys there, and you know this in the business. There's some guys, your boy Sandy Koufax over there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's just some guys you just got to give it to. It's, you don't really want to do it, but you know, you have your life in locker rooms when you're with players and doing play-by-play, and they're zinging you, and you got to be able to zing them back. So you got to stay alive in the woods. It's no doubt about it.
So take me back, by the way. What do you recall when you guys launched the network, right? And you were a part of the first lineup that we had here.
Well, I was excited about Brian because he's a character, as you know, and we knew we'd have fun. You know, that's the thing. Like, I'm sad about what's happened here and the jobs lost and the guys that are, you know, that are out there looking. But I hope they find jobs that equal the fun they hope to have when they got a job in this industry. You know, that's the part that I'm afraid of, is that maybe we're not, you know, maybe it's not that much fun anymore. Like, we grew up, and I know how you grew up because I know your dad so well. And, you know, it was obviously a different time, and everything changes. I'm okay with that. But Brian and I came in a fun mode, and we carried that through a couple of years, you know, before Brian went to the morning. So it was all good, and I wanted a better part of the day for me rather than 6 to 10, and the powers that be at the time didn't want to give it to me, and that's how I ended up, you know, going back to part-time at FAN and part-time at CBS and doing those kind of things. So, you know, it was great. I mean, that part was great because Brian was so much fun to work with, and we had a good staff.
What were some of your favorite memories? Just wondered. I remember I saw Brian last week at Army Navy Radio Row, and he just recalled it was something so small. You guys were doing a draft show, and someone said,
"Oh yeah,
like,
it was just so stupid." That was, but that was Brian and I. We would pick on the little thing. The guy, whoever was announcing the pick, the 60th pick. He said Illinois, and we, you know, when you're on live, always. I remember Steve Summers got. I think that was the same night Steve Summers went out for a smoke, who's over at WFAN next door to you. And he went out for a smoke and got caught in the elevator for more than an hour. It was the same night.
Huh?
So there was
who?
Chuckle.
I need to get back on the air?
What's that? Yeah.
I'm here. You're there. I'm stuck in the elevator.
That's right.
Oh, I'm here.
You're there. What is it?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was little things. We had little, and we had, you know, as you know, you get callers that are very predictable. And we were working, I was working a lot with James Ward, who's a great producer, and Adam Grossi and those guys. And, you know, we had a rhythm and we had a certain style, and people expected the goofiness that we delivered. And it made the night go by. As you know, weird thing about this business, and it's also true in play-by-play, the game or the time on the air generally flies by. I often thought to myself, if this ever doesn't fly by, it's time to get out. You know, if it's work instead of fun, time to get out. And thankfully, that never happened to me.
Well, by the way, we have one of those legendary callers that used to call you who wanted to ring in and say hello to you.
Oh, boy.
Caller, can you go ahead? How are you?
Only reason it flew by is because I carried your ass each and every night.
Oh, man. Just go eat some bacon and find something. How could you interrupt your bacon? It's the bacon hour between 5 and 6 Eastern. How could you interrupt that to talk to me?
And by the way, if this was a Friday, the two of them would be eating a lot of bacon and drinking a lot of drinks. That's what I heard.
Well, it might be true.
No.
I don't think that's true, Brian.
Do you? Just a couple of whiskeys, right, Simo?
Well, we needed a little bit of libation before we entertained the nation.
I'll never forget our first show, or at least the first week. Somehow, we were talking about farm equipment, and the conversation turned to concubines. I don't know how that happened, but that right there was a good indication of what that show was going to entail moving forward.
We did terrorize Gracia, I'll tell you that.
Oh, my goodness.
Six o'clock,
that young
6
dude.
O'clock, he's looking at his watch. We're on the air at 6,
Chris.
He's looking at his watch. Where are those guys? Where are those guys?
What's the matter with you, fool? We're here.
Well, I'll tell you, it's obviously Brian Jones is here with us with Chris Moore. When I took over the 6 to 10 p.m. Eastern time slot, the producers used to come up to me and they go, man, you're always here at the studio so early. You don't make a sweat or anything. Unlike those other two knuckleheads that launched the network that would just get drunk as a skunk and eat a lot of bacon at Westville on every Friday night.
I wouldn't say drunk as a skunk. I thought it enhanced our entertainment capacity.
Maybe I should do that tomorrow before the live show.
You probably should. You should go down there around 4:30 and it definitely
enhanced their entertainment value. What's interesting to me is that it never got to spit, Simo. That's wild. Those 2 years, and it never got to him, because that was our Friday ritual. No matter what, we would head over there prior to the show, have our bacon and maybe one or two whiskeys.
But you know why? He's a suit at the end of the day. Those guys like to get out of the office very early on a Friday. That's why he never found out. You're right.
But you got snitches. You got snitches everywhere, man. No one ever snitched on us.
Well, Brian, no offense. I don't think anyone would want to snitch on you, because then you would smack them over the head.
Yeah, I was a little overweight back then, Simo. I was a big booger bear. Yeah.
No. Dewey Oxenberger, no. You may have noticed I'm a little overweight. No. Well, that bacon will do that to you.
So let me ask you this. Listen. Yeah, go ahead, Brian. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Zach. Go ahead.
So what I was going to say, Chris, like when you first got paired with Brian, what was going through your mind when they said that he was going to be your co-host?
Well, we had a meeting with Mark Chernoff and Spitz, and Brian came in on a whatever weekday morning, and immediately he starts calling me Simo. Simo, you can't be worried about what A-Rod did last night. I was like, oh, this is going to work. I knew it was going to work right away, because there was no introductory period. Brian and I were friends 30 seconds into meeting each other, and that was that. And I knew, you can tell with people like that, either they get it or they don't. And if they don't, you know it's going to be a problem, because my personality, I know this will shock you, Zach, it's not for everybody.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's not the one that everybody would pick up. I mean, there's not a lot of librarians in my life. So I knew, Brian, we wouldn't have any problem.
Who is it? Isn't it your friend? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Zay, now that's true for the most part. There were some moments where I definitely wanted to smack him around.
Oh, yeah, that was my goal.
Yeah, but for the most part, he is correct, man. We hit it all because he's a nut. I'm nuttier than a fruitcake as well. And so, man, but I learned so much from him. I was blessed to work at CBS Sports Radio. And then the transition from Simo to another learned dude and Greg Giannotti, dude. Both of these cats were pros. They were exceptional. And I was joking earlier. They both carried my sorry ass. And they really helped me. I had done radio previously, but it had been some years, and they really helped me get back into the game and find my rhythm in that particular medium once again. But, man, we both endeared to do one thing, and that was to have fun, and that came seamlessly, fluidly, and it was a hell of a lot of fun. And those 4 hours, some nights they get tough. You know, the dog days of summer, not much going on. But we found a way to have fun. And I mean, our board op, Moralia, who's doing big things, yeah. DraftKings, we call him, what'd you call him? Them childbearing hips he had.
I don't remember now, but there were plenty of names that we wouldn't repeat, I would say. there were plenty of names. Moralia.
This is great.
Another beauty.
So, but the other thing too with Chris Moore, you have like an intelligent humor about you. And there'd be some times where you would tell a joke and I couldn't tell, was it a joke? Is he being sarcastic? And then there would be times you'd be serious. Like you had a wild card humor where it was tough to tell when you were trying to be funny and then when you were just trying to be serious and then when you were trying to be a jackass, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, there was a fireable quality there that allowed many program directors to do just that. You know, there was a little bit of that, no question about it, that I kept them guessing quite a bit. But so, I remember with you for a while when Patrick Mahomes started
to
become
What up, Mahomes?
I'd see him and I'd say, hey, Zach, what do you say if you're walking through the Kansas City airport and you see their quarterback? Zach would go, okay, go ahead.
I'd say, what's up, Mahomes?
But the thing, Brian, was it would be every break. Like, I'd be on the show after him, and he would come out 6:15, 6:30, 6:45. And every time he'd be like, hey,
what's
Zach,
up, Mahomes?
If you're walking through the airport, you see Patrick Mahomes. What up, Mahomes? Every single time. It just would not end.
Yeah, there's a juvenile quality there that I've held on to.
Hey, man, don't ever change, Timo.
He's got plenty of juvenile. I mean, you grew up in that environment.
Yeah.
What's
that? I was just going to say, don't ever change, homie. Don't ever change. I know your old behind will not, and that's why it was such a pleasure. I in a heartbeat, I would jump to work with you or Gio again, man. I mean, that's how much pleasure I received from working with you, Cash. Y'all were tremendous.
And I'll tell you, if Simo or Brian, you ever change, we'll just ship your asses off to Illinois. All right,
Illinois, Simo! With the 60th pick. Oh! The Chicago Bears choose Brian Jones, Illinois.
Simo,
the simplest things make you laugh. You're okay, right?
I
mean, if the real simple things make you laugh, you're okay. And we did laugh.
Crazy.
And that was who was behind us? Who was the quarterback behind us?
Sean.
Man, he's got fat, and he's sitting right behind me. Remember that, Brian?
Yes. I remember. I was talking bad about my boy. Damn. He was right behind us. He was our next guest. He had gotten fat.
See, you guys were idiots, though. You guys did the whole draft. I just did the first round and then said, I'm done for the night. I wasn't doing the second and third round. What are you guys, crazy?
Well, we had to come back and ask the summers out of the elevator. The jaws of life in there.
Amazing. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. All righty.
Hey, Simo. Simo, wait a minute, Zach. Simo, I have no idea why that was as funny as it was. Maybe we were out of our element, even though I'm a former NFL player or whatever. We're sitting up there in the Radio City Music Hall, and that dude said, Illinois. I looked at you, you looked at me, and we were just speechless, and it was over. It went.
It was after over.
That. I have no rhyme or reason why.
Yeah, and these days, of course, you see these clips all the time of bloopers on TikTok or wherever and Instagram, and that was us. If there was a camera there, we'd still be on Instagram.
And by the way, there's a special request here. We uncovered a baseball bat at the 345 Hudson Street Studios. Mike Biseglia wants it signed by you, Brian Jones, all right?
Oh, my goodness, that little bastard. Oh, wow. I'm going to beat him up. Steal.
Hey, Simo. What do they say? Horns up and then horns down? Is that what they say?
Oh,
boy. Did I have to hear it? And did I have to hear it? And every year we're waiting. Hey, Arch is coming back. So you got 8-3 locked up.
Oh, shut up. You crazy. Shut up. Natty, baby. Natty.
You know what? A source tells me Sark is actually interested in going to Michigan, Brian. What do you think about that?
Oh, okay, Desmond. You go take out your garbage. And talk to the tennis ball.
Chris Moore and Brian Jones. Gentlemen, anything else you want to say as we just kind of say goodbye to the network and obviously just reflect on your time here?
Chernow, Spitz, thank you. Gio, Simo, love you guys to death. Samter, everybody over there that started with us from day one. What a ride, man. That was so much fun. We helped build something and hate to see it go, but that's business. You guys are friends for life.
I agree with what Brian said. It was a great ride, and he selling himself a little short. He was great to work with, a great communicator. People naturally like him. It's a real good quality in this business, and that helped our show get off the ground, and it made them, you know, well aware that he should be paired with Gio when that show started. So credit to him for that and the joy that he brings to the listener. And even, you know, even his outfits really aren't that bad on CBS
but here's the thing. I saw this guy on the sidelines last week at Army Navy.
I saw that too.
He's making all of his money. He's got his nice jacket on.
Yeah.
His gloves broke. I had to give him hand warmers. I'm looking for that 555 back. I'm getting laid off, Brian. I need that money back now.
I'll give it to you in nickels and dimes.
That sounds good. I'll be expecting it. I'm going to need it to get my Starbucks next week.
You got it, homie. Appreciate you, Zach. Love you, Simo.
All right. I'll talk to you soon, brother. And, Zach, I really do wish you the best of luck and, you know, reevaluate in your head how you're going to approach it, how you approach this new media environment. You know, there's a place for you without a doubt, but it's got to be the right place and it's got to be on your terms and it's got to be something where you think 5 years from now, I'm still going to be digging this. So I wish you luck and everybody there luck in finding that kind of gig that gives you that kind of high and that kind of optimism. And you've got the talent, so I know you can find it, but you know, it's so fastly changing now and so difficult to know if you're making the right decision. It used to be real simple when I was growing up. You know, it was not a hard thing to do. Now, there's just a lot of factors involved. So use your dad as a great resource and your friends as a great resource. And I wish you continued success, brother.
Well said. Much love right there. Chris Moore and Brian Jones joining us. Appreciate both of them stopping on by. We'll wrap it up next. Update time first. Here he is, Chris Lopresti. All righty, wrapping up shop on this Thursday as we are doing a CBS Sports Radio throwback day. Scotty Farrell, Taz, BT, D.A.M. Marash, Amy, Jody Mack, Bill Ryder, Doug Gottlieb, Chris Moore, Brian Jones, all just stopped by in the last 3 hours. But I wanted to end the show really bringing on someone who I think is the backbone of this network. You don't hear from him often unless if someone's getting in trouble. And we've had a lot of great bosses here through the years. Clearly, guys like Mark Chernoff, Eric Spitz, Chris Olivero that launched what we had for over the last decade. Spike Eskin did a really good job working with us. Ryan Hurley right now. But the program director of Infinity Sports Network, which used to be CBS Sports Radio, is David Mayerdick. And David is joining us. The boss man is in studio for the last segment on this Thursday before we do our final Zach Gelb show tomorrow. And I wanted to bring on Dave to publicly thank him because we got a lot of listeners that reach out to us in the last week, 2 weeks, when people get a sense of what's going on. And without Dave, this network would not have been able to survive for the last decade plus because there's so much that goes on into having a 24/7 kind of feel of the network with program scheduling and you make the program and then someone calls out. Or someone, you know, says they're going to take an off day then wants to work, which I've done quite a few times. Just happens the other way. Or you get part-timers that call out. And Dave is the one that has to kind of stir all the sauce that you hear into your radios and puts the people in those chairs. So, Dave, obviously, just wanted to bring you in. And I wanted to give you a public thank you on the air.
That's really kind of you, Zach. I appreciate it very much. And, yeah, listen, I'm incredibly fortunate to have worked with you guys for as long as I have. It's been a great experience. I'm really, really proud of the work we've done. And again, this is not to, you know, dump on anybody or the situation, but again, our support has been minimal. Again, it's an operation that, you know, we have a sort of set budget and we're kind of told, here's what you have to work with and go get it done. And that's what we've tried to do over these last, you know, 12 plus years. And I think we've done an exceptional job of it. And, you know, guys like Mike and Stu, who, you know, the boots on the ground guys who really put your show together and the other producers who put those their individual shows together are the real, you know, heroes in addition to obviously our talent. That's what people are drawn to. You know, most people don't know what anybody like myself or you know, to a lesser extent, you know, somebody like Samter or Stu, they hear them, but they don't really know what goes into the daily preparation of a show. Even for somebody like you, I mean, you're the voice and the face of this network to a very large degree, but they don't understand the kind of preparation and work that goes into putting together a radio program. And again, it's really, really rewarding, fun work. So I've been really blessed and fortunate to have done it with a great group of people.
I'll tell you, Dave is very calm. I've had a lot of managers that are not calm. I've had a lot of managers that every word out of their mouth is F this, F that, freaking out, overthinking everything. And why I think Dave is such a good boss is he lets the talent do what the talent does best. And then when you have to reel them in, you'll get an email, you get a phone call, you get things like that. But there is one day in particular that I remember. This is the only day I remember where David Mayernick was actually irate and upset.
Yeah, tell me.
And you may or may not have punched the wall.
Okay.
So when I was doing the weekend overnights,
yeah,
I knew we weren't getting live guests on from 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern time. So I would come in on Thursdays and Fridays, and I would pre-tape interviews at, let's say, like 2 p.m., then go get some lunch, and then come back eventually, like sleep on the couch, and then do the show. So I booked, it was Eric Weddle from the Ravens.
Yes, the cornerback, or the free safety?
Safety, yes. I think he was at the Ravens, I'm pretty sure at the time. And
he was with the Rams, or did he go to the Rams? Yes.
He at a time played with the Rams. But anyway, I think he was at the Ravens. And we're in the production studio waiting for him to call. And this is like before I knew how to really work the equipment. And then I just started doing all the stuff on my own. And there was a phone issue that day.
Yep.
And the Ravens PR is on the line. The guy's holding for 5 minutes. We're trying to figure out why it's not connecting to the board. 5 minutes turned to 10 minutes. And Eric Weddle is there the whole time. And David just takes the phone and throws it. And then I remember him punching a wall. He goes, "We're a national radio company, 24/7, 300 affiliates. We got a guy from the Ravens on, and we can't fix the bleep, 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 bleep phones." And I was like, "Yeah, that's my boss. Ahoo, ahoo, ahoo." That's what I remember the one time you freaking out.
You know what, though? Because, again, like, and you could tell, like, it's such a poor reflection on somebody like Mike and Stu and myself and you. It has nothing to do with any of us. You know what I mean? You just want the stuff to work. And to be fair, you guys have been around long enough to know that, you know, you hit one button and sometimes that can cause a catastrophic chain of events.
And also, we booked the studio and they told us to go to a different studio. And then when we got to that studio, they said, go back to the original studio. So it was just a day of musical chairs.
Yeah.
And I just think something was brewing with David. And eventually he just popped. And I said, "This is the nicest guy I know." And I've never seen him actually get mad until that day.
You know what's funny, Zach, is now I do remember it. And I think it was just like you said, it was that confluence of events where you're just like, you know what? This is absolute BS. And you just, like you said, accurately, you just pop off. I think you get it out of your system and then you go on. You know, real quick, I know we're running out of time, but I just wanted to, you know, I'm going to send a note out to the troops tomorrow, but just compliment you guys. It's been an awesome ride. You guys work your tails off. You do great stuff. And you know, who would have known that, you know, Zach Gelb, a young 20-something, would grow into the person that you've become and the, you know, the industry stalwart that you are, man. You get great guests. You make great headlines. It's been a pleasure, and I'm so glad that Stu and Mike got a chance to steer the ship.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, but I seriously want to mean this. Like, there's a lot of time people go underappreciated in radio, and they don't get the credit for the success of this network. You deserve a tremendous, and I mean a tremendous and an enormous amount of credit. And there's a lot of thankless work that you had to do, and it wasn't lost on anyone around here. We all knew your importance and your impact to the network. So I think someone's cutting onions in here. So I think that's how we're going to sign off.
Okay. I appreciate it. You know, that was very, very sweet of you guys to say, and I'm just, you know, I'm so fortunate to have worked with all of you. You guys bust your tails. You entertain people, you give them, you know, lots of great information, lots of great entertainment. And listen, at its heart, it's companionship.
Yeah.
You know?
Alrighty. There he is, David Marinick. What a CBS Sports Radio throwback day it was. Tomorrow, starting at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific time. I can't believe it, but it's the final Zach Gelb show. We'll talk to you tomorrow, everybody. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.